This morning, I was looking at how to present to you the upcoming feast and the reasons for celebrating the spring feast. How many got the booklet? Was able to get a little more out of it. I don't know if there's any more left, but if there isn't, we can get some more. But I'd like to take you with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Thank you. Leviticus chapter 23. And I'm using the Amplified because there's a couple of words in here that I wanted to just kind of push a little harder. You know, a couple of words can make a big difference. And it's a similar message to last week, but I want to kind of show you what's upcoming. Last week we talked about gifts that would be produced, and a little by little, the transformation of the man of God and the woman of God. In verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, set feasts or appointed seasons of the Lord." Set feasts. Designed by God, not designed by flesh, to satisfy your flesh. Appointed seasons of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocation. Even my set feasts are these. So these are the things that he's trying to get to us, and he hasn't changed his mind, in case you forgot. He's an eternal God. I could take you to the scriptures and show you that even when our Lord is back into the full control of this earth, there will be set times, no different than today, to celebrate these feasts for all of humanity. And those who don't will actually reject God and his ways. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation or assembly by summons. What is that? You get a summons in the mail. You have to appear on jury duty or somebody's calling you to witness. Do you have a choice? You sure? You shall do no work on that day. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Oh, what about it from the barn? Nah, sorry. Even if you live in a barn or a stable, it's not going to make any difference. If you live in a house or an apartment house, same decree. These are my set feasts or appointed seasons of the Lord. Holy convocations you shall proclaim at their stated time. Now, on the 14th day of the first month, we already established last week that Nisan is the first month. Between the evening is the Lord's Passover. Between the evening, not at twilight, in the morning, when the sun is rising. We say that's morning. No. On the 14th day of the first month between evening is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And it's confirmed in 1 Corinthians 5, so you can check that out later on. On the first day you shall have a holy calling together. So you can't do this from home. A holy calling by yourself would be many people's opinions. And they would justify it with all kinds of reasoning. But God didn't say that, did he? He's saying, set time aside. I'm summoning you. You're getting a summons in the mail today. get together. A holy calling together. You shall do no servile or laborious work on that day. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile or laborious work on that day. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, when you have come into the land I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. So in other words, the tenth of your gift, a percentage. Verse 11, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, that you may be accepted. Notice that it's an offering so that your acceptance is at stake. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it before the Lord. You shall offer on the day when you have, and when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, for a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, that male lamb, by the way, had to live in the house at least 4 days. And we talked about how children are very nosy, and they would examine that lamb. And we talked about that on the day we celebrated the Easter celebration or Resurrection Sunday. But the next level comes when you realize that this lamb had to be without blemish, meaning that the servant of the Most High that would be brought in as a lamb would be perfect. They would examine him for 4 days, and they did examine him. They put him on trial, didn't they? They gave him a summons. They went and got him. Are they getting you today? Are you here for him? Verse 13, it's a cereal offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet, pleasing, and satisfying fragrance, and the drink offering of it to be poured out shall be of wine the fourth of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until that this same day when you have brought the offerings to your of your God. It is a statute forever. It is a statute part-time, a statute forever throughout your generations in all your houses. That includes the house of prayer. And you shall count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf and wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, or 7 full weeks shall they be. So now we're talking about a next celebration that's connected to this particular Passover, isn't it? Verse 16, counting 50 days to that day, after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall present a cereal offering, a new grain to the Lord. I would stress the word new. Verse 17, you shall bring from your dwelling 2 loaves of bread, not one, to be weighed, made from 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, and they shall be baked. What does your Bible say? With leaven. Doesn't make sense, does it? You've just had a celebration of Passover that it specifies get rid of all the leaven. And now you have a new celebration 50 days later, and the instructions to Moses is to make sure that this bread is baked with yeast or leaven. What does it signify? Why would God change his mind? I have a gentleman that I've gotten to know a little bit, and he works at the nursing home, the Jewish nursing home. I believe it's East Long Meadow area or West Springfield. I'm not sure exactly where the residency is. But the bosses have been pressuring him to make sure that everything is clean. And there was one section that the rabbi came in the kitchen that wasn't satisfactory. And he made him, this particular gentleman does some of the housekeeping, take it all apart, do it again, it's not clean. And he said, I couldn't comprehend why. I said, well, he's trying to get rid of the leaven. He's trying to get rid of the dirt in his home. Happens to be the nursing home. And I said, the dirt represents sin. Oh, he says, you're kidding. I said, no, that's what it means. Well, I'm glad you have you around. He says, now at least I won't be doing it with a grudge. Well, because he already cleaned it once and it wasn't satisfactory. And if I understood it correctly, he was taking apart a whole series of fans and ductwork and all that stuff that goes into the main kitchen. And it's an intense job to take it all apart and put it all back together in between meals. How many know that you might whoop on that job? You might bark two or three times, because if you've already done it, and the rabbi says, look, and he sees one little speck, you got to do the whole thing over, there might be just a few frowns on your forehead. Okay? Now, if I took you to 1 Corinthians, you'd see that leaven is sin. And everybody concentrates on the Passover part. And everybody thinks that the Passover lamb and the broken bread and the matzah is really Christ Jesus, and they're right. We know that. Well, what do these two loaves mean? Cooked with sin in them. What does that mean? Why? Anybody got a clue? Anybody? You want to take a wild guess? How many of you remember? Huh? Go ahead. Yep. Close. How many of you remember there was a gentleman named the Barley Loaf? Who can tell me his name? He was called the Barley Loaf. They saw him rolling. An Old Testament character. Anybody remember? Who's the man that was called the Barley Loaf? There was a whole army trying to get him. And the unbelievers had a dream, and they saw a barley loaf rolling down the hill, and they said, surely this is Gideon. Remember Gideon? He was called Barley Loaf. Why? Because he raised barley. He was famous for that. And when I saw the bread this morning, notice how high it is. Isn't that kind of cool? And by the way, the one who has the job of getting the bread did not know about this message, because we did not communicate. She just had to stand in line waiting for it, because it didn't make sense for her. Are you ready for this? I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe the scripture is really talking about us. Because are we not the Pentecostals of the earth? Are we not the ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost? And we still got some sin in us? How many think that they got no sin left in them? Until you get angry, right? until you get a little bit offended and you realize there might be some. See, the old covenant for 4,000 years was with our God functioning in the earth, looking at man and only seeing sin. When the real lamb came and was offered up, he took his blood and he covered humanity with that blood. Are you covered by the blood of the lamb? Do I get an amen? If you're covered by the blood of the man, blood of the lamb, that means that you are a new creation. For 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation, but you've still got some sin in you. Yes? So the Pentecostal experience means that man is now acceptable to God with sin in him, with leaven still inside of us. Because remember, we're talking about word pictures here. We're talking about years of a Sabbath and then a full Passover, and 50 days later, which is Jubilee, right? You now have the priest offering up bread with leaven, and it's acceptable to God. So what does that take you? That takes you from one agreement with God on Mount Sinai to the next agreement with God, which is where? What's the second? Yes. Golgotha and Calvary, because they're combined. See, Jesus says, my Father has accepted me. He was examined, and he was accepted as that perfect lamb. And when he gave up his life, he gave up his life so that man could be acceptable to God with sin still in him. Why two? Two breads. Not one. Why two? Could be. Could be. But both of the breads have got leaven, so they're both got sin in them, right? I do believe it's male and female and Jew and Gentile, yes. But I also believe that it has another possibility, and that is 2,000 years. Because the scripture says, for 2 years, I will cast out demons. I will deliver my people, and on the third day, I will be perfected. So the third day people, meaning us, when we're coming into the third millennium from Christ, he is going to be getting rid of the sin out of us and preparing us for the next feast, which is what? Huh? Tabernacles. Where he can really fulfill his entire destiny, which is really inhabit us fully. Is it going to be an act of faith? You bet your bottom dollar it's going to be an act of faith. And you're going to have to believe that the sin nature is going to be dealt with day by day until you reject it to the best of your ability, and God will wash it out of you. And as you submit it to him, he will cleanse you of all that leaven. Good news. I heard one amen. I should have heard. Are you understanding? He's cleaning us up. We are that people. We're that bread. We still have some sin that we're dealing with. Amen? And the priest took it and he what? They shall be baked with leaven for the first fruits of the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs a year old, without blemish. Why number 7? Number of completion, yes. Representing all of us. all of the humanity. And that again could mean 7,000 years. One for every 1,000 years. Isn't that cool? That includes the millennial year, where everything will be reestablished. I want you to close your eyes. Don't move your Bible or anything. I just want you to close your eyes right now and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which earth? So you're not going up, he's coming down. So much for escape. He's coming down. You prayed this prayer. How many have prayed this prayer before? Okay. Come on down here, Lord. So the whole purpose of the experience of this Passover is to enter his rest. And if you notice in the pamphlet that we have, the seventh day, God rested. Even in Genesis, it was predicted. This particular year, because of the circumstances that we're in, and when all the pieces fell in together, I said to Marianne, I really believe if God confirms what I believe he's confirming, we're going to celebrate our very first Sabbath, which will be next Friday. As a church, we have never celebrated our Sabbath day, period. We've never done it. Not in my recollection. I mean, we did it when I was in Israel, and we did it with weird. You know how many weirds we went through when we first started to see what they do on a normal Sabbath? Like the elevators don't work, the buttons don't work, there's a Sabbath elevator. You have to just get off at the floor that it opens on because they're not allowed to push buttons. It's weird. There you are in a multi-level hotel. I think Gail and I were on that elevator together. But anyway, we got on the elevator, and it has a big sign, and the door was open. So some people got onto the other elevator, which is the Gentile elevator, but we got onto the Shabbat elevator. So here we are, and all of a sudden, now we want to go, I forgot, floor number six or whatever it was, and it wouldn't stop at our floor. And we pushed the buttons and it had nothing. I mean, it's just going to go right by, and it went to seven and then back to five and three and then one. And we rode this thing three times. And finally, one lady said, you're on the Shabbat elevator. We are. We hadn't even seen the sign. The other elevator works and you get on and you can push buttons because you're unbelievers. But the believers are not allowed to push the button. That's work. So it stops at every other floor. But the one we were on, it wouldn't stop on. Getting a clue of how man tries to make things happen. Now, I mean, I'm positive if our Savior was coming with us on that elevator, he would have pushed the right button and we would have got off at the right floor. But this is man's way of fulfilling God's will. That's what happens. Now, what am I saying to you? Are all these things legal and compounded so that it's loaded with sin if you don't? No, absolutely not. This is a feast of obedience. It's a Shabbat. It's a time out. It's a Sabbath of rest. From what? From your emotional turmoil. From your war games in your brain. And overworking your body. Okay. What are we doing this morning? We're going to raise that up. As we ourselves are lifted up. And we're going to just wave before God. What we are. because he's already accepted us with sin in us. And we better get used to the idea that we've still got some sin in us that we haven't been able to get rid of yet. Yes, the blood of the Lamb is working on us. Yes? But the blood of the Lamb is going to continue his process until it is a little by little by little taking you to what? What is the ultimate? Perfection. Done by his Holy Spirit. Okay? It's going to be done by the Holy Spirit. He's eradicating what was in us, and are we going to turn into what? No, we're going to turn into light. I was really, really pressed because of the Holy Spirit's word to me back in 1977. Kirsten, I'm going to give you an understanding of something. Did you see this, by the way? Okay. Well, when you go out there, this particular word was given to your grandmother. Sitting in my living room, sitting at the organ, if I remember correctly, singing that particular song, and it became the name of the prayer group, 1977. 1985, I believe, July 7th. I'll never forget it. God sent me on a trip. On that trip, he had me take pictures. And I came back. I went 200 miles from my house. When I got home, the Lord said it's going to be, because he told me it was going to be 200 miles before I left. And it was exactly 200 miles to the place where he sent me. When I'm on my way home, I'm on 91, and you won't know north or south, so I'm not going to tell you. But he said to me, it's going to be exactly 200 miles to your office. And that didn't make sense, because I had left my house very early in the morning. It was exactly 200 miles. But on my way home, he said to me, I want you to claim that place that I have shown you for the children of light. And my brains went, children of light, Three Rivers, Main Street, Three Rivers. He said, no. And at that time, that prayer group was still in functioning. It was still going strong, and I was leading it. But he was trying to make me aware that the children of light is the people of God, fully encompassed by the light of Christ in them, as Jesus was on the mountain. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, someday I will radiate the light of Christ right through me, the light of my Father, the light of the Spirit of God will radiate through my spirit and shatter all the darkness, all the sin, and make me radiant before God and holy before him and holy before you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. So you better look at that bread right now, baked with yeast, baked with leaven. It's still got some sin in it, right? Please close your Bibles now. Place them where they're comfortable so that you can get up. Would you rise, please? I want you to lift your hands just like this, put them together, as though you were holding this bread, because we're going to do it together. Say, Lord Jesus, we're realizing now that this first fruit celebration which is coming very quickly, represents me with some sin still in me. And I'm fully acceptable to my Father God. I rejoice, Lord, that you can accept me with a full knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my real sin, the leftovers are in my flesh, and Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is cleansing me on a regular basis with his precious blood. Romans 5:9 says, I'm justified by the blood. 1 John 1:7 says, I'm continually cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's an ongoing job of the blood working on me. I declare this to be the bread of life. I declare this cup to be the Lamb's blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah.